Good morning, HT. How are we doing today? I said, good morning, HT. How are we doing today? Okay, all right. All right, just sing after me. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
We're blessed in the city.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
We're blessed.
We're blessed when we come, when we go.
Hey,
we cast down every stronghold.
Sickness
and poverty must cease.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the
city. We're blessed in the field.
We're
blessed when we come and when we go.
We cast down every stronghold.
Sickness and poverty must cease.
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Are we blessed today? Okay, now I hear more to y'all. Are we blessed today? Let me hear you. All right, so let me just see you clap with me right quick. Go. All right. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. And late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Oh, I sing. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Sing that again. Sing it and believe it. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Hey, it's gonna work in your favor. Y'all ain't ready for this. Hey, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around and around
and around
and around
and around
and around
and around
and around
and around
and around
and around.
Hey, we're blessed in the city.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
We're blessed
in the city. We're blessed in the field.
We're blessed.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
For the blessings have chased me down.
We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease.
Why? Cause the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Wait in.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Sing that again and believe it. Do it with your feet.
Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around. Hey, it's gonna work in your favor. Sing that again. Late in.
Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Sing that one more time, just believe it.
Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around.
And around,
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 and around.
Hey! We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. Every stronghold. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Hallelujah. Let me hear you sing that. Come on, let me hear you shout. Let me hear you shout. Let me hear you shout. Can we do that one more time? We're blessed. All right. So we're going to sing that again. Because now we got everybody. Y'all ready to be blessed? All right. We're just gonna sing the verse, come on. Hallelujah. All right, sing it with me. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Now let me hear you be blessed. Let me hear you shout for your blessing. I want to hear more. Give me more. Give me more. Give God more. Hallelujah. 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 Can do better than that. I've heard it. Hallelujah. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, and I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came.
You came and changed my life.
You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, and I'm mighty grateful. So I can be, and I can be, so I can tell everyone. You thought I was worth saving, so you came.
Whoa.
The Lord in spirit and truth, Lord. So you clean me up.
So you
clean
me up.
You thought I was to die for. And I'm mighty, mighty grateful.
So, you sacrificed your life,
so I can be,
so I could be free,
and I can
so
be,
I could be whole. So I can tell everyone,
hey.
I know.
You, I'll give you glory because I am.
Because I am free.
Because I am
whole.
Oh.
And I will tell everyone I know.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory
to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you.
Forever.
I'll worship you.
Forever.
I'll give you glory.
Forever.
Because I am.
changed my life.
You thought
I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside.
So you cleaned me up.
Saying you should be afraid of me right
you
now.
I was to die
because
for.
I've got victory. I've got Jesus. I've got Jesus.
Here we go, here we go.
If you've got Jesus, let me hear you
so
say. Because I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sing that again. Sing that again.
Say it again.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Hallelujah. So you cleaned me up.
You thought I. And I will praise you,
yeah.
Praise
I'll worship you. I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you all the honor. You're worthy. I'll worship you. And you healed me. I have life, eternal life, more abundantly. Hallelujah. Forever.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many have been washed by the blood of Jesus this morning? How many right now, if you died, you know exactly where you're going? How many of you got the joy of the Lord that is your strength? Then I want to hear the biggest shout you've ever given God in your entire life. Don't hold back anything. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah.
Here we go. Come on. Hallelujah one more time. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. Worship.
Hallelujah. To the God who changed my life. And I will praise you.
Because I am
whole,
I am whole.
we thank you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for changing us, God. Thank you for making us new people. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we declare that you are an awesome God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And today we give you the honor that's due your name. In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout it. Why don't you go find five people you don't know and say, I got God on my side. Boom.
You, I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. Because I am free. Because I am whole. And I will tell. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. I'll worship you. I'll praise your name forever. 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 And ever. And ever. Forever. 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 Tell everyone I know.
Just feel the Spirit of God saying right now, in this place, he who began a good work in you shall complete it until the very end. He is the God of forever. You may have thought he was done with you, but he's not finished. He's gonna finish the work that he started in you. He will complete it. He is the forever God. He hasn't walked out. He hasn't quit. He hasn't given up on you. He stays in until the very end.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We want to invite you to come out to Awaken. This is a brand new young adults ministry, ages 18 all the way up to 28. We meet every Tuesday at 6 p.m., so grab a cup of coffee, bring some friends, and we'd love to see you guys come out.
And I will do it for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Hey, HD, we want to remind you that we have Pastor Spencer's birthday gala coming up April 1st. Again, we're going to be holding it at the Watkins Glen Harbor Inn Hotel from 6:30 to 9. We want to make sure that you get the availability to sign up, as the ticket sales are at $60 per person. So make sure that you sign up at the link below for more information and RSVP today.
Are you missing something in your life? You feel like there's more to church? I want to let you know, on March 6th, we have an amazing opportunity to come together as the body of Christ. We have a short word, we have prayer, we have worship. We're going to seek God's face and set the tone for the entire month. that Saturday night. Clear your calendar. Make sure you're here. There's going to be a powerful move of God that you're involved with. Don't forget, you have purpose. And when you find your purpose and you start to pray, we can pull the power of God from heaven. We'll see you there. We're excited to join together in unity.
My name is Heather Ramsey. I'm 24 years old and I'm a youth leader at the Uproar Youth Conference. This is my testimony. In 2013, I got invited to go to the Uproar Conference on a Friday night. I have been attending His Tabernacle for about 12 years now, but I would go to service every single Sunday, but I never was really fully saved. I was what you would call plain church. Friday night, I was worshiping and Jesus really clearly spoke to me and told me that I either need to go all in with God or all in with the world. And if I went all in with God, that He wouldn't let me down, that my life would drastically change, and that I had to put my trust in Him and it would be the best decision I ever made. Honestly, it scares me to even think about that question because, truthfully, I know that where I am at this moment in my life, none of it would have happened without having God as my number one. I was a single mom. I had my daughter out of wedlock, and I was struggling to provide for her physical needs as well as her financial needs. And since I started actually serving Jesus, He sent me an amazing, amazing man of God who accepted me not only for me, but accepted my daughter just as His own. He gave me an amazing son. I was able to be a youth group leader, and I'm now serving under the ministry, being able to just tell the young girls that it's never too late to turn back, and I'm able to share my testimony and just encourage them about how it is so good to actually serve God, and that no matter what you've done, that God will always turn it around with every situation. I sew into Uproar every year because I want to see the change for this young youth generation. Not only is it a reward for myself, but going to the conferences for the past 2 years and actually participating and being a youth leader and seeing the harvest from our seed is the most rewarding thing that you could ever think of. I encourage anybody to be able to sow into this conference because if it wasn't for their seed that they sowed, my life would have never been changed.
Hallelujah. You know, it's a great thing to realize that your life changes other people's lives. So many of us just think that we're islands to ourselves, and you're never an island to yourself. God has a dynamic plan for you, and your life is touching others. You wait till the message, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. We want to welcome all of our guests here this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest this morning, if you'll raise your hand, we'd love to just say thank you for being here with us. If you're a first-time guest, if you could just raise your hand. Oh, very good, young lady. How are you? Is there anybody else? Sir, over there. Very good. I like being called sir. That makes you feel old, doesn't it? Very good. Where, over on this side, where? Oh, very good. It's good to have you. This young man in the back. Oh, very good. Thank you. Anybody else? You're a guest, first-time guest. In the back, very good. Oh, thank you so much for being here. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap? Thank you so much for being here. We also want to give a hand clap to our online campus. Excuse me. I feel better. Our online campus. Right now, in fact, I just had a Facebook message that right now a pastor from India is watching the telecast. So right now we have people literally from all over the world. We've had people every week. We have about 100 computers every week that are online watching this live stream right now. So let's give our online campus a hand clap and welcome them. Thank you so much for being part of His Tabernacle Family Church.
Amen. God is so incredible. This powerful youth team is just such a blessing. Have you seen the growth and the increase in their worship? It's because they are running hard after God in this house. If you have a teenager in this house and they are not coming out to youth group, they are missing it. Make sure they are in youth group. They are having powerful, powerful time with God, and it is evident in their worship this morning. So we just want to thank them so much. The Uproar Youth Conference, that powerful testimony of a transformed life, and even just thinking about our precious Heather and where she would be today if it hadn't been for Uproar and the seeds sown into Uproar. It's crazy to even think about that, and she's just one out of the many. So the ushers have Be the Difference papers that they're going to pass out through the aisles. They already did it. They are on top of it. If you are interested in sowing and investing into the young people to transform lives like this testimony you got to see this morning, make sure you fill this out and become a monthly partner with them. We also have Pastor Spencer's birthday party. It is coming up quickly. I just want to make a quick correction. We've lowered the price to $50 to the end of this month because we want to make it possible for every single person to come. It is a wonderful time. We're going to share stories about our pastor and laugh a lot because he gives us plenty of great material to work with. So it's going to be just a lot of fun. When do you get to dress up formal and come out and celebrate somebody's life? It's going to be awesome. We have a photographer coming in, so you can get lots of great pictures from our 10-year anniversary. We did the same thing. I have precious pictures that I absolutely treasure with my friends and my family from that event. So make sure you sign up for Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday, not only because we're going to have a great time, but to honor the man of God from this house. Amen. One last little maintenance thing. I finished the 31 Days of Encouragement devotional book. And this is available for pre-order today out in the foyer if you'd like to order some. And then they should be available by the end of this week or next to pick up. So make sure you get your copy of 31 Days of Encouragement. And now as we enter into this time of tithes and offering, you know, I never want our tithes and offerings in this house to become something that we obey out of fear. Because fear is not from God. I want our obedience to be out of sheer honor for our King. The tithe is holy. It belongs to Him. Let's make our obedience out of honor for how awesome God is, in faith of how incredible He is going to be even in our future. So let's not ever make our obedience out of fear. Let's make it sheer honor for our King. So if you're ready to give today, let's stand to your feet as we make this supernatural proclamation. And as you say this today, I want you really to declare and believe the word of God over your life because it is true and does not return void. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and honor God with your tithes and your offerings. If you're watching via live stream, you can honor God too. Just go click on the giving button and give right along with us.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. Stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease. Why? Because the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
It's gonna work in your favor. Whoa, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Hallelujah. Sing that again. Hey. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. And around, 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 and around. We're blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every strong. Sickness and poverty must cease. Why? Cause the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Hallelujah. How many of you are blessed today? You know, can you imagine? I could never imagine going to a boring church. I don't know what I would do. I think I'd escape. We had a Bible college teacher at school. She was really bad. And what we'd do is when she would go off on us, right, man? She would come in and go, "Oh, there's sin in the camp, oh Lord." We would all turn around, kneel down, and then we'd slide under the pew and sneak out on our hands and knees out the back door. I think I would do that in a boring church. I don't know what I would do with myself. I want to just let everybody know, how many men do we have in the room? I didn't say sissy girly men dragged in here by your wives. How many men are in the house? Can I hear an amen? I hear girls screaming. How many men are in the house? If I could have Pastor Banfield stand up. I was so blessed on Thursday night. I walked into the men's meeting, and there were at least 30 men plus. Was there more than 30? There were right around 30 men in that room on the other side, learning and growing. You all need to be part of the men's ministry on Thursday night. If you're not, I don't know why. What else you doing, man? You're sitting home watching the tube? Come on, join the men. What I love about this house, we have a lot of men in this church. This is not a female-oriented house. Now, listen, that's very important. We like the ladies to come. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But we like to fill the house with men, too. So we have a lot of men. And if you've ever met Pastor Banfield, he's the original OG. Just OG? He's the original OG, just OG. He's just OG. He's the OG. No, really, he is the original OG. No, he's not. Okay. So we want to encourage you. Right after this service is our annual business meeting. If you are interested in how the church handles their finances, we'll be having right after service. We cover, I think we have one of the most detailed annual business meetings that I've ever been to. We literally cover where we spend every dime because we want you to know we're accountable. Can I hear an amen? I believe that every church should be accountable. We're accountable to the IRS. We're accountable to our government. We have an outside accountant. But we also believe that we are accountable to the body of Christ. And so if you'd like to stay for the annual business meeting, it is right after service. Can I hear an amen? Everybody grab your phone real quick and make sure that you log in or check in to His Tabernacle Family Church on your Facebook. We are getting out there and making sure that we are having a strong presence in our community. We actually did an ad not too long ago, and I had a man write, "Why does a church need to advertise?" Well, for goodness sakes, why does McDonald's have to advertise? You can have the best of whatever, but if no one knows you're there, they're not coming. And I do believe that we have a strong outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in this church, and God will change your life. Turn to someone and say, "I believe God will change your life in the anointing of the Holy Spirit." This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. If you're a guest here, every year God gives us a theme. Last year was the year of the kingdom. We talked about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That you must understand the kingdom of God, not Christianity. A lot of people are stooped in Christianity, but they are not understanding the kingdom. Jesus never told us to seek ye first Christianity or religion. He said, seek ye first the and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this year, we're dealing with the kingdom seed. If the kingdom is the principal, primary purpose and understanding of how God's kingdom works, then seed is the preliminary, the pointed, the pinnacle principle that we must understand. For everything works by the seed. Everything you need is in the seed. And when we do not grasp this reality, then we live substandard. We live producing harvests that we do not want without the understanding of how they got there. But the truth is, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also. So every one of us are the culmination of the seeds that we planted. We are now participating with our own harvest. But God wants you to be successful. Can I hear an amen? I said, God wants you to be successful. I said, God wants you to be successful. Well, our verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3, and it says this: you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall fail. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I misquote that? Whatsoever he does shall. Turn to someone and say, I want to prosper. Shout, I'm going to prosper. You see, God wants you to be that tree that everybody looks at. You see, why do we have trees? Because there's fruit on the trees. You and I are called to bear fruit. What's the fruit? The fruit, the personality of the Holy Spirit. When God shows us and shows people the fruit on our tree, that's why they're drawn to us, because of who we possess and who possesses us. We want to be fruitful. We want to be productive. And we want to be successful. I don't think I've ever met anybody that said, I can't wait to be a failure in life. Everything that we do is determined by the seed. And right now, even in this church, I want you to realize something, that you are participating with a harvest. You see, there are people that have gone before you that have been sowing the seeds of their life, that have been sowing the seeds of their finances, that have been sowing their life in ministry. And today, you and I are privileged to be in the prosperity of the harvest of what others have planted. This is something we've got to know, that we are always going to receive not just what we harvest, but what others have sown as well. You see, every one of us are not just planting for our own life. We are planting for generations to come. The children, listen, you're going to see a video today, and some of those children in that video are actually ministers in the church today. Well, why is that? Because somebody sowed back there, but now there's a harvest generations later. Every one of us are not just planting for our harvest, but for the harvest of our children and the harvest of our children's children. So we cannot plant, we cannot sow without knowing that God has called us to be successful. When we live that way, we live the old Christian manner. Here's the old Christian manner. Oh, the Lord, he just keeps me humble by this disease that's on my life. Hallelujah. You see, being poor is being godly. The poorer you are, the more godly you are. I just thank the Lord that I'm humble. That's the Texan. I'm humble. And that whatever he does to me, I just will accept, and that I will be torn down, and I will be unsuccessful, but glory be to God. Listen, that's the Christianity I grew up in. And the problem with that is that that's not the word of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. Is there sickness in heaven? I said, is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there depression in heaven? Are there emotional problems in heaven? Do people have the right mind in heaven? You see, God has called us to live what heaven has provided, and as citizens, we have the right to live in the participation of what Christ was crucified for on Calvary's tree. And that is that we can live as prosperous people and not as poverty people. Everything that God does comes from that seed. And all seed has, especially when you're dealing with a church or you're dealing with your life and your destiny, comes from a vision that God gives you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. That means they have nothing holding them back. They're wild. They're not doing the will of God. But happy and blessed are those who keep the law of God, the word of God. You see, everything that we have comes from the seed. Even the purpose of our life, God has planted it in your life. Before you were ever formed, God knew you. You weren't born 300 years ago. You were born right now for this time in this season to do a specific work of God right here in this arena. Everyone tries to escape where they're at. I just can't wait to get out of Elmira. I hate Elmira. I just hate this area. This has nothing to do with the area. This has nothing to do with Elmira. This has nothing to do with the region. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. If you are here, it means God's plan is for you to be here. Stop fighting the plan of God. Get a revelation in your spirit. Get a vision from the Lord. And God always plants the vision by a seed. You know, a woman that gets pregnant, there is a seed involved. Can I hear an amen? Vision is a lot like pregnancy, where God will impregnate you with a vision. God will give you a dream. God will give you a desire to do something that is beyond you. Remember, vision that stops or can be accomplished by you is not vision at all. Vision must go beyond you. It must be beyond what you can do. It must be beyond the generation that you are. True vision is revelation, where God reveals to you and I his direction for our lives, which, as I said earlier, every seed we plant will be harvested 2 and 3 generations from where we are. If you are living for Christ, you should not be shocked that your children are going to live for Christ. If you're living for hell, you can't be shocked when your kids live for hell. You see, this is the principle of seed time and harvest. And God will give you a vision. And when he gives you a vision, what I love about it, if it's God's vision, there'll always be provision. When there's lack in your life, it means you've taken ownership of something that is not yours. God's passion is that heaven will come to earth through the vision that he dispels to each one of us. And that is that we are the people of God on this planet that he has planned to make a difference. You know, his tabernacle has made a difference. I'm excited that today I get a phenomenal opportunity. I am so blessed as the pastor of this church. I am blessed to stand up here and preach the gospel every week. I'm blessed to see how God transforms your life. I am blessed that I get to participate with the vision that God gave. But every vision has to grow. Just like a lady who's pregnant, the baby starts to grow. All of a sudden, the baby shifts to the kidneys. Woo, come on now. Shifts to the back. All of a sudden, my wife says, don't make me laugh, I'll pee. You know why? Because where the baby shifts, all of a sudden, you see an arm go out through the side. Whoosh. Babies start to move, and ladies start to stretch. Ladies start to get uncomfortable. And this is the process of growth. And you see, in a vision, God will give you a vision. He'll give you your destiny. He'll direct you. And whether it be marketplace ministry or full-time ministry or the ministry of helps, whatever dimension that he opens up to your heart, it will always be one that you will be able to pass on to your children and your children's children, because the vision of God must be beyond you. And when we obey the vision, it will change the very generations that are coming after us. You see, today you're sitting in the harvest of what people have sown from the past. And I just want to share with you, this is probably one of the most fun. People say to me, Pastor, that is a very loud shirt. Pastor, why are you wearing such a loud shirt? You know, men, they think that. They won't say it out loud. But man, I wouldn't wear that shirt. There's no way I'd wear that shirt. Well, you know, I got some socks too, baby. Well, you know, I got loud shirts and I got loud socks. And today I wore them on purpose. Why is that? Because this is my happy shirt. These are my happy socks. And they're literally called happy socks. Why is that? It's because I'm happy to be able to gloat on my God. I can't wait today to be able to brag on my God. For my God is awesome. And what he's done with the seed that's been planted is supernatural and transforming. As I said earlier, right now, I just had another man text me. There's a man watching by Florida. There's a man right now watching in India. And there's usually people that are watching overseas and throughout the United States. We know we have people from Pennsylvania, portions from across New York State. Right now, it's amazing to realize as the television program went over the air, we were on ABC and CBS every Sunday morning for the last 3.5 years, that literally from Alfred University all the way down to Wellsboro, almost all the way to Binghamton and into Ithaca, the gospel is being preached and people are hearing what you are hearing sitting in these seats. But that came because people seeded their lives and other people are now able to participate in the harvest. You see, each one of us are so imperative to the plan and the plot of God. We might think that our life doesn't seem like much, that our life isn't producing much, but that is a lie from hell. For everyone that sows shall reap. And it might not just be you, but people around you are going to reap from the life that you are sowing in this place. You see, you are powerful people. And my heart is that this morning, as I brag on my God, as we're able to brag and rejoice over the miracles that he's accomplished through this vision, you see, this church did not start off like this. It's amazing how many people want to participate with success, but few want to participate with the gestation. Everybody wants to be part of successful things, but many of us forget that it started with a seed and there was a period of gestation and then there was a messy delivering. I got yelled at in the delivery room. Me and the nurse were talking and my wife, I guess she started having the baby. She said, "I'm over here." And all of a sudden everybody came running. All the rest of the nurses came running in the room. I said, I didn't do nothing. But we forget that there is a price that is paid, seeds that are sown to where we can today enjoy what God has given us. I don't know about you. Come on, let's give God praise for the being able to sit in this room today. Can we do something else? Can we give God praise for the lives that have been sown and the finances sown so we can sit here today? Generations are being changed. I would just like to tell you this story. Is that all right? You don't mind? I'm going to tell you the story, and I'm going to show you a video. Brother Chris, I saw a picture of you from one of the parades in the early 2000s. You're still bald. Here we go. My wife and I got married in 1990. We've been married this year. It'll be 26 years. Sometimes we like each other, and sometimes we don't. In fact, let's be honest, the first 2 years of marriage, we hated each other, but we couldn't get divorced because we were pastors. But we learned how to work through, and how many of you know marriage is work? How many of you know marriage is really a lot of work sometimes? But how many of you know you can make it? Only one amen. How many of you know you can make it? My wife and I took a pastorate in Newfield, New York. How many of you know where Newfield is? It's like 20 miles up the road. And I got a call from the denomination that I was part of, and they said, "We'd like to have you come and pastor this church in Newfield." Well, there were 7 people. Now, my wife was quite young. She had just turned 18, and I was very young. I was 12, and my parents had to sign for me. And so what's really interesting is, all 7 people that were in that church in Newfield were all old enough to be our grandparents. It's amazing. And what I didn't realize was that I was actually sent there by the denomination to close it. They needed to blame some stupid kid for closing the building. But you see, where God has vision, there'll always be provision. Where God has vision, there'll always be growth. When the baby stops growing after conception, there is a problem. And you see, this is what I love so much about God, is that God in vision, God in seed, will always bring forth a harvest. We were so blessed. I remember we were in the afternoon, Sunday afternoons, we'd have to meet in Cayuteville. After the church was done, we took over their church where there was no air conditioning. And out of the seven, I would usually lose five of them snoring. Within 6 to 8 months, praise the Lord, we were in a building up in Newfield where the post office is right now, right there on the corner near across from Van Buskirk Road. And we were able to be there, and God bless us, in 5 years, we were able to build two buildings, and we had two babies, actually three babies. Wow, you were busy. Three babies. Three babies, and wow, what a great time, and God blessed us. And I remember one time, I'm talking like literally in the middle of a cow field, one day I lost the whole congregation. They stopped listening to me, and they're all staring out the window. And I said, what's going on here? I looked out the window, and there was a horse staring in the church. And God spoke to me in 1995. He said, I want you, actually it was 1994, it was October, and he said, go pack. And I said, well, where am I going? He goes, well, that's not your business. I told you to go pack. So I went home to my wife, and I said, you need to start packing. And she said, where are we going? I said, I don't have a clue, but we need to pack. So we started packing at that point, and it wasn't until that next year, right around August, actually it was August, the first day of August, that we had resigned our church and we went full-time on the road as evangelists. God blessed us on the road. It was awesome. I've seen every kind of miracle you could ever imagine. Tumors disappearing, blind eyes opening, deaf ears being able to hear. Listen, I got no reason to lie or fake to you. I watched it with my own eyes. I could not doubt God if I wanted to. It was not going to be an option. I've seen people with multiple sclerosis healed. I've seen literal people who have birth defects, literally limbs growing inches right on their body, right in front. I've watched so many supernatural things, it would stagger you. One day in 1996, I'd been on the road a little over a year, I went to a church in Oneida, Tennessee. Has anybody ever heard of Oneida, Tennessee? Oh, we have people that have heard of Oneida, Tennessee. Scary place. Four-lane highway coming in, four-lane highway coming out, a town of 5,000 in the middle. Well, I got invited to preach there, and, you know, when you're young, you don't fight where you're preaching. So I went there, I drove in, and you could just see it's a unique location. And I went in, and they said to me, Pastor, we don't have a pastor, so we're going to let you stay in the parsonage. And so what's a parsonage, for those who don't know? It's a church-owned house that the pastor stays in. So I said, you know, there wasn't going to be a hotel. There was no hotel. And so I stayed in the parsonage. They said, whatever you want in the house, you can eat. I said, great. Well, I went after they left, and there was a half a gallon of ice cream that was freezer burned. And then that night, I was getting ready to go to bed. I pulled the sheets back, and there were black hairs in the sheets. I don't have black hair. And there were no cell phones back then. They had no television. And so I came to a quick conclusion. I will be fasting a lot this week. So I started seeking God. I started fasting. And the next day, I was in the living room, sitting on the couch in Oneida, Tennessee, minding my own business. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, start a church in Horseheads. And so I was journaling at that point in time, and I started journaling. Start a church in Horseheads. Dash, no. No, I'm not lying. I wrote no. Preached great services, saw some great deliverances, saw God do great things. Awesome. So the next year, they invited me back. So the next year, which is 1997, in the first of the year, guess where I was? They still didn't have a pastor. They did change the sheets, and there was food in the refrigerator. Give God glory. Hallelujah. But I was sitting on the same couch, and the Lord said to me, I told you to start a church in Horseheads, New York. And I said, no. No. Well, we had great services. God was moving. I'm out having a great time. That fall, I was on a break. I usually would preach 3 weeks out of the month and take 1 week off. I would go home for that week. I'm home that week, and we owned a lot of acreage. We owned, not a lot, but 8 acres, and I mowed 3 of it. So I'm out mowing the lawn, minding my own business. And I was almost done, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Start a church in Horseheads." And I said, "No! Why would I start a church in Horseheads? There's about 120 churches in this region. Why do we need another church?" And he said, "Tell them I love them." How can you fight that? From that day on, my wife and I started planning His Tabernacle Family Church. We started planning that we were going to launch the church. And we started having some Bible studies on the weeks that I weren't on the road. And we made a decision that the second week of February, we were going to launch His Tabernacle Family Church. We did all the legal stuff. We were so blessed. In fact, we were so blessed. We had a company out of Oklahoma give us $5,000 worth of TV commercials. How many of you remember the TV commercials where someone with the bungee cord one or the, does anybody remember them at all? Maybe I should, you remember them? The bungee cord, there was a guy like, there was a guy on the side of a bridge and the music is bumping on, bump, 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 and on, just wild. And all of a sudden, you know, the guy bungees all up and he swan dives off the side of the bridge. And then it focuses on the other end of the bungee cord. He forgot to tie the other end. Shoo, pow. And all of a sudden you heard him go, thud. And it came up, got Jesus. So we were blessed with all of this stuff. The night before the church was launched, I got a phone call. We were in the middle of, there were 5 of us, we were in the middle of a prayer meeting, and I got a phone call from a lady named Deb, who's here now, Deb Gilliam, right over here, wave yourself, wave, Deb Gilliam. I hadn't heard from Deb in probably a year, and she said to me, "Pastor Mike, I just feel God wants you to hear this. It is your time and it is your season." She didn't even know we were starting a church. She said, "God says it's your time and your season. Do whatever God has laid on your heart." That next day, the second week of February, 1998, we launched His Tabernacle Family Church with 5 people. We launched it from the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. As I was asking God, you know, again, why do you want me to start the church? Not only did he want me to tell people that he truly loves them, but he also said that this place would be known as a place of grace and mercy. That people who other people would never expect or want to see in church were going to come through those doors. That people from every lifestyle, whether you're a crazy partier, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a whoremonger, no matter what your lifestyle was, that when you walked in those back doors, that Jesus would show you that grace and mercy was in this house, and that God doesn't know, and God doesn't care where you've been, he cares where you're going. He said to me, I want you to say it out loud. And if you look at our very first announcements, it was this: no gossip allowed. Why is that? Because if you're a gossiper and somebody who is from maybe your past walks in those doors and you start jammering about them, you're going to drive them out before Jesus can change them in. No gossip allowed. And the Lord said, I want you to share this verse, John chapter 17, verse 3. I'd like you to turn there real quickly. I'm not going to be long, another hour or so, we're gone. John 17, 3 is the verse for our church, and it says this: "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The Lord said to me very clearly, I want them to truly know I love them, that I have a plan for them, and that they are purposed, and that I want them to know me. Not know about me, but know me inside. Walk with me and talk with me and have a relationship. That's why every single week, there's not a week that doesn't go by that I don't give an altar call. I want to thank the Lord. One person gave their heart to Jesus last week. Man, all of heaven busted out in praise. The Lord laid on my heart when we began that we would see at least 1% of our community saved. And at that point, there were 90,000 people in a 10-mile radius of the Clements Center. The Lord showed me that this church would be at least 900. And I said, God, that is really large for this area. In fact, I went to some other preachers, and they said to me, well, you know, Pastor Spencer, I don't want you to, you know, think anything bad, but every church in this area implodes and every church splits when it reaches 200 in this area. I said to them very nicely, I don't care what happened to your church, but I know this is God's church, and if I run God's church God's way, according to the book of Acts, it doesn't ever have to split. And I give God praise that this house has never split, not even once, and will not in the name of Jesus. I got another great testimony. Every single week in this church, we minister to no less than 900 to 1,000 different people. In fact, I want to give God praise. We split the nights for the children's ministry to Wednesday night, sixth grade and under. We had 119 children under the age or under the grade of seven. We also had on Thursday night another 100 teenagers filling these altars, worshiping Jesus Christ. They weren't just here having fun and talking and gibbering and jabbering, but literally, when I walked in those doors, these people were worshiping Jesus. Some of them worshiping better than the adults. You see, God is doing his thing, and what God promises, when God gives a vision, there will always be provision, and there will always be evidence. I'm going to rush now. Here we go. When we started the church in 1998, with the five people, God started to increase us. And in 1 year and a quarter, we outgrew the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. I was thanking God for that because I used to have to carry the sound system up every week, two floors. I was sick and tired of carrying the sound system up. So thank God he delivered us. But every single time that God is getting ready to move you, you've got to be willing to be uncomfortable. When there is true vision, when there is true stretching, that means God is making more room for the new baby. And I said, God, where are we going? We started looking around, and we found a building down here in Hanover Square. Now, you know you've been here in this area a while. When I say, how many of you remember the old Brown's Pharmacy? Not many of you. It was an old soda fountain, you know, ice cream and stuff. In fact, Rhonda's grandmother used to work there. There was a man, we walked into the building in 1999, and I said to Mr. Lawrence, who was the owner, I said, sir, would we be able to rent from you? And he says, well, you're a church. He said, I don't like church. I don't like church people. All you preachers are fake. And I said, well, I mean, will you rent to us? It's money. And he says, I'll rent to you, but I'm keeping my office right there in the back. I said, no problem. Every single week and every single day, he would be in that office, and he would always keep his door just cracked enough to be able to hear every sermon, to be able to hear all conversations. You know what thing I've learned about God? Is that before, because it's his vision, before you know what he's doing, he's already setting you up for success. God is not thinking tomorrow. God is thinking where you need to be in the next decade. And so God is already prepping you, and the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So God is already preparing you for success. Well, you know, I didn't know Mr. Lawrence was going to end up playing a massive part in our lives as his tabernacle. In fact, right now, I want to give God praise for Mr. Lawrence, who's now in heaven. He did accept Jesus, who's now in heaven. He accepted the Lord before he died, because you would not be sitting in these seats without Mr. Lawrence. It's amazing when we start looking at what people have planted that have allowed us to participate with the harvest. You and I would not be here today without one person. One person sowing has made a difference. I'm going to get into that, so here we go. It was amazing. You're going to see video of it. But we were able to renovate that building. And you know, we needed to raise $9,000. So we went to the church. This is the very first time we ever asked people for finances other than tithes and offerings. And that day, they raised $9,000. And that to us was an absolute miracle in the hand of God. Come on, give God praise for $9,000 and the miracle that happened. That enabled us to start renovating that little storefront. And what was cool about that, there was a man named John Rossplock. And I want to give John Rossplock a shout too. He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Florida. But John Rossplock gave up, he was a professional contractor, gave up 3 years of his life. This is what he did. He gave up 3 years of his life, gave up his contracting business to come on full time at the church. And this was his statement: whatever you can pay me, that's what I'll accept. We would not be sitting in this building today without a man named John Rossplock. Come on, give God praise for John Rossplock. It was so exciting in that building, and you'll see it. But in 1 year, we outgrew the old Brown's Pharmacy. In 1 year, we had outgrown that building. And I said to God, God, where do you want us to go? Now you see, as you're continuing on your journey, it's always beyond what you know. When it's true vision, you're always stepping out on nothing to land on something. And the Lord said to me, start looking. And a man came up and he said, there's a building for sale on Old Ithaca Road. Some of you know it today as Mustang Sally's. There's a building for sale for $210,000. Well, at that point, our church is like 2.25 years old. You need to know that no bank gives a loan to a non-denominational church for any money. They usually make you wait 9 years. So we went to banks. And I went to three banks with Lou Lamphere. And each bank we went to, we said, sir, you know, gentlemen, would you be interested in giving us a mortgage? And they all said this: you're not old enough. You don't have a strong enough record. In fact, you know, even if we did, it would be 30% down. Well, 30%, come on now, of $210,000 is over 60 grand. I didn't have 60 grand and neither did the church at that point in time. We just raised nine. And I said, you know what, Lou? I don't care what any of these men say. I know this. When God gives the vision, God gives the provision. And we had one more bank to go to. We went down to the old BSB bank down in downtown Elmira. How many of you remember that? We walked into the bank and we had an appointment with the manager. We sat down and he found out we were a church. And he said to me this. He said, my most favorite book of the Bible is the book of Proverbs. And he starts talking about the book of Proverbs. He's sharing with us his favorite verses. And then he's telling us about going out and laying hands at the sick for the church and going to the hospitals. And then he said to us, what do you guys want? Well, we need $210,000 to buy a building. He said, well, let's do this. $200,000, you're going to have to ask him to lower his price. And you give $10,000 as a down payment, and I'll hold the note. Come on, come on. If that banker wasn't there, you see, that banker didn't know that God placed him there for you. You wouldn't be sitting in the seats without that banker being set up by God so that when we went in there, God always has provision for the vision. I love who our God is, don't you? So we said, we went to the body, we raised $10,000. It was exciting. Everybody's excited. We showed them, walked through the building, and then it was the day of the closing. And I got a call the day of the closing from our lawyer, and he says, Pastor Spencer, I'm sorry, but I made a mistake. And I said, what do you mean you made a mistake? He said, I forgot to tell you that you have to have another $7,500 for taxes at the closing. And if you don't have it, you can't close. I said, sir, it's Monday morning. I might have been able to raise money on Sunday, but it's Monday morning. What I didn't know, again, was Mr. Lawrence had his door cracked. And Mr. Lawrence walked out of his office and he looked at me and he said, Mike, he never called me pastor, Mike, you are not a pseudo preacher. You are not fake. I've been watching you. Always know people are watching you. He said, you know what? I'll give you the $7,500. Pay me when you get it. At that point, he wasn't even born again. Come on, give God praise for Mr. Lawrence. Give God praise that he was able, that right there, God's provision through a man who wasn't even born again. We were able to close on this building. And like I said, it was so powerful. As I watched John Rossplock, you'll see it in the videos, every single day coming in, changing walls, putting in walls, creating the vision. You see, God will give you vision, but you've got to not just have provision. You've got to have the plan to make it happen. Can I hear an amen? Well, we have a problem now because John's done renovating the building. We just finished the bathrooms upstairs. There were three cars. Come on now, if you've ever been down to Mustang Sally's, three cars deep in every part of the parking lot. Thank God. Come on now. Thank God the American Legion built across the street. We said to them, can we use your parking lot? And they said, absolutely, Pastor. You can use our parking. We had their parking lot filled, and we had ours three deep. In fact, the only one who ever got in an accident was Mike Donovan. Mike Donovan pulled out of the church parking lot and crashed, I think it was a Beamer. Bam! It was really exciting because it was the first time it happened. Here we are, we're looking at what God has done. Now we've outgrown it. And we said, God, where do you want us to go? Remember, the vision never stalls. Vision moves forward. There must be a delivery. There must be not just gestation. There must be delivery. So there's always movement. There's always growth. There's always progression. And I said, God, where do you want us to go? Isn't that the most powerful thing? Is letting God tell you where he wants you to go. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And the Lord said, Broad Street School is empty. I called the school and it wasn't really favorable. They said, no, we're not renting to you. And I said, no, you don't understand. You will rent to us. And they said, no, you don't understand. A few calls to the lawyers. Yes, we understand. And they rented to us. We literally took over half of that entire school. The gymnasium. Listen now, I want to talk to you about seed. Every single Sunday for 3 years, there were men and women who got up early, went to that building, set up chairs, set up the backdrop, set up the sound system, set up the band, set up the TV, set up the children's wing, set up. They sowed their lives so that today we could have a children's ministry that's literally the best in the entire region. In fact, I want to give God praise for Sherry Kuhnel. Sherry Kuhnel, she doesn't come here any longer, but Sherry Kuhnel was the woman who helped develop and for 10 years oversaw the children's ministry of His Tabernacle Family Church. Oh, I'm talking like miracle after miracle after miracle. And each time something happened. And let me tell you the next problem. You ready? How many of you know there are good problems and bad problems? I know I'm boring some of you, but hang on for the ride because you need to hear the blessings that it took to be sitting where you are. We had a problem when we outgrew the school and actually they didn't like us anymore. They said, we want you out. We had no place to go. We at that point probably had 300 plus people and there was no location to go for us. It was nothing large enough, nothing we could rent. And I said to the Lord, what do you want us to do? And he said, there's a piece of property up at the end of Level Acres Drive near Old Ithaca. I want you to go buy that land. Well, the land wasn't for sale. So I went to the tax rolls and I found out who opened. It was a man living in New Jersey. It was his family's farm. And I called him up and I said, sir, I'd like to buy your land for His Tabernacle Family Church. And he said this. He said, well, it's not for sale. And I said, but if it was, what would you sell it to me for? He said, I'll do $5,000 an acre. I said, sold. I said, I got $20,000 to put down on it. You're going to have to hold the note for 3 years and then we'll balloon out. And he goes, no. Hung up the phone. But you see, when you hear from God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. When you know God is the provision, the one that brings provision to the vision, then you're settled inside. And I sat back and I said, no big deal. In fact, Pastor Banfield and Jody and a bunch of the other prayer team would go pray around this property. They'd walk around the property and pray over it. They found a lot of pot. A lot of pot. And so we just believed. The next month, the man calls me and he says, all right, I'll do it for the $20,000. I said, I only got $15 left. He said, I'm not doing it for $15,000 down. I said, no problem. Why can I say that? Because I knew what God had spoken to me. I was secure in the vision and secure in the provision. I know this is God's problem and not mine. See, that's the best part about peace. You can live in peace when you know you're walking in the will of God. And so guess what happened? The next month, he shows up at my office from New Jersey, and he says, Pastor Spencer, I'll sell you the land, $15,000 down. I'll hold the note for 3 years. I said, I only got 10 left. He said, I'll do it. Come on, give God praise for a miracle. Hallelujah. The trustees and I went to the church the next week, and in one day, the body of Christ at His Tabernacle Family Church raised over $95,000, and we paid off that property within 1 month. Well, you can have all the land you want, but without a building to put the people in, there's a problem. So we have a problem because we have at least 350 people. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We don't have enough money. I don't know how many of you realize it costs about $125 a square foot when you're building. Well, that means this building should cost us $3.75 million. But you know, I got a security in my spirit that if the God of heaven is the one with the vision, then I don't know how he's going to pull it off, but he's going to bring the provision. And Pastor Banfield said to me, you know, I know a Mennonite dude. Why don't you give him a call? I gave Mr. Burkholder a call, and I said, sir, we're looking to build a 30,000 square foot building because God told me don't build any less than 800. And he said, well, you know, I've been wanting to get into church building. Why don't I use yours as a spec building? I'll build it for $25 a square foot. This entire property was built with all of the excavation for $1.1 million. In fact, I want to give God praise for even heathen governments. For the local government here, we were going to have to spend over $300,000 to get the dirt here to level off the driveway. But the local government said, why don't you use our mining tag for free? They pulled all of it out of the creek out back and saved the kingdom of God over $300,000. Come on, give God praise for a miracle. So now we have a builder for $25 a square foot, which is an amazing miracle. That includes radiant heat. And the Lord says to me, get ready, I'm going to provide the rest of it because now I need money. Everybody say money. No, you say money. I need money. You can't build a church without money. Well, we still were not 9 years old. So I said, God, how are you going to pull this off? And he said, that's not your problem. That's my problem. For where there's vision, there's always provision. And all of a sudden, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth calls me. He said, I found three banks in America. They're not normal banks. They're only Christian business people who want to build churches. And only one of them will build a church for under $2 million. Why don't you give them a call? I called up Mr. Dusterman. I said, hi, sir. We need to build a $1.1 million building in the town of Horsehead. Heads, New York. He said, horse what? I said, horse heads, New York. He said, brother, send me your monies. We sent the finances, and man, you want to talk about tight. It wasn't just tight. If somebody stopped tithing, it had been beyond tight. We wouldn't have been able to make it. And I said, Jesus, if we're going down, we're going down in a ball of fire. For what God has vision for, there'll always be provision. I've stepped out on nothing to land on something. And guess what happened? That man turned and he said to me, he says, I'll give you $1.1 million for only $10,000 down. Oh, come on now. You better give God praise for that miracle because you wouldn't be sitting here today without that miracle. And Christian business people have sown into this building. This was not from a regular bank, not from what they call the world. This was Christian business people sowing into this house. See, people believe in you, and you don't even know them. People have sowed into your life, and you've never even met them. My aunt and my uncle lived in New Hampshire for years. They sowed into this ministry for years, sowing every single month so that my wife and I in this church could continue. My grandmother, who is now 95 or 96 years old, she sowed $5 a month out of her $300-some-odd Social Security check to make this place happen. What you sow, you shall reap. And what's amazing is we get to also reap not just from what we've sown, but what others have sown. You see how imperative you are? Even generations to come are looking to you to be a sower of your life, a sower of ministry, a sower of your finances, a sower in the vision, because they will reap from what you sow. You're so powerful. What's really cool is this. We were able to build this building with only $10,000 down. And today, the amount of people that have been saved in this building, the amount of lives that have been transformed in this building, are all because, to God be the glory, great things He has done. And people have believed in the vision. They believed in the vision. They have sown in the vision. And today we all get to reap from the harvest of the vision. You know, it's so exciting to realize how powerful you are with your life. You don't mind if I show you a quick video? Here we go. That's the Holiday Inn in Horsehead. That's where we started the church. Everybody see Corinne? This is the old Brown Pharmacy right here. This is John Ross Block. Right in back of that stuff was Mr. Lawrence's office. He always kept track. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? We had to rent apartments to build a children's ministry. These are the apartments on the first floor that we rented. There were so many children in them, there were no more room, literally not another room for one more child. This is the old Ithaca building. This is what it looked like inside when we purchased it before John was sowing his life and people sold their finances to see it. Beautiful. The sanctuary was actually upstairs, but this is what it looked like when we began. Remember this Ed and Shirley? You guys used to travel up from way down near Lower Pennsylvania. How many hours near Reading? Almost 7? This is when we started putting the chairs in. Don't despise small beginnings. Come on, you're getting ready to see somebody. Oh, by the way, that toilet always overflows. Shane Ostrander, our head usher at the church. That's John Ross Block. He hated toilets. Isn't that beautiful? This is the outside of the building when we purchased it. One of the gentlemen in these pictures came all the way from Ohio. The gentleman on your far left came all the way from Ohio to participate. They'll be at the 50th birthday party, they said. See, that's not only older people, that man handling the chainsaw, but children also sew. And the children that are in these videos right here are pastors in this church, two of them. Lord, I give my all to you. This is a man who owned a painting company. He said, "Pastor, I want to paint God's house." No greater privilege. Roger Wood. It was planned on being white. It turned out to be a little lavender. That was the sanctuary, Old Ithaca Road, when we were completed. That was my mother-in-law. She was one of the founding members. She's gone on to be with Jesus since. We called that room the nasty, ugly green room. This is the school right here, Broad Street School. I remember Brother Chico Hernandez from Mesco Gruba. Every week, people sold their lives. The year of duplication. That's Pastor Banfield in the background. There's a drama team that we had come in and do ministry. You've never experienced the almost hell until you've been in there during the summer. That gymnasium was not air conditioned. This is the dedication of this property right here. Two of the board members, Brother Henry and Brother Sadler, were sitting on the trustee board at that time. They took a leap of faith with us. Then the beginning of the building. More than the air I breathe, you're everything. Every bit of dirt I praised God for. You're my hero. And mud. I forgot to tell you about all the mud. More than the air I breathe, you're everything I need. You're my hero. You are. All the trust is going up. 190 feet by 160 feet is the building you're sitting in. Mr. Burkholder has never come to this church building, not even for the dedication. He sold $100 a square foot to make sure this happened. This is the tent. Brother Shambach's tent. Sat 800. We were in it for a month and a half interim before the new building was going to be complete. And the school got rid of us. Some of those children there are still not only in the church, but leaders in the church here. Hi, Emily. This is the very first Sunday at His Tabernacle Family Church. We were robbed the night before. They stole every TV camera, all of our microphones, but God was not going to stop. And that morning, we preached the very first message. Regina Spellman from Texas came and preached the dedicating service at His Tabernacle Family Church. Thank you. Since then, thank the Lord, we got rugs on the floor. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We got chairs to sit on. Can I hear an amen? God has been so faithful. I don't know about you. I'm just excited and so exhilarated to be able to share this message. Some of you, it's boring, but for me, it is showing the faithfulness of my God, showing how good my God is. You can never say you don't believe in miracles once you've seen the testimony of where you're sitting today is literally supernatural. Every one of us play a massive part, not just in where we sit now, but the next generations to come. You see, what you might not know is that field that's out front is going to be the next building. It will seat 2,500 souls. Can I hear an amen? We will have a Christian school right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. I believe, God, we're going to fill that building twice. And you've never been excited when you see 2,500 people worshiping Jesus at the same time. Man, the noise, the uproar is so powerful. The men that are going to come in, Pastor, you're going to be able to influence their lives. I'm so excited about what God is going to do in this place and each one of you in this room. You're not just a person sitting in a chair. You are part of the future of the kingdom of God. You're part of the lives that will be transformed forever. You're not just sucking air. You're not just sitting in a pew. You are powerful people. You are seed people. And your life, your finances, your ministry, everything is going to make the next level happen. In the name of Jesus, I want you to know how powerful you are. There's a little woman sitting over here. Her name is Sherry Boland. She just hates ever being pointed out. But that woman there, she head up our outreach department for about 8 years. And she did every outreach. We did 42 outreaches a year at His Tabernacle Family Church. Many of you might not know it. We used to be at the mall handing out cassette tapes. I'm talking, they gave us a booth. God is so powerful. This is why I'm believing that this year, this house, the seeds that have been planted, we are going to grow 400 to 500 new souls this year at His Tabernacle Family Church. How can I say that? Because the seeds have been planted for the success of the kingdom of God, and Jesus is coming soon. I said, Jesus is coming soon. I said, Jesus is coming soon, and it's time to bring in the harvest. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, you are so important. Turn to someone and say, I'm a cedar. Every one of us in this room play a massive part in the completion of the vision. The devil can't have our region. The devil can't have our children. The devil can't have our schools. Drugs will not be what will sustain them. It will be the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The devil can't have our college students. The devil can't have our families. The devil cannot have our older folk. Jesus is coming, and this house, your life, is seed. Plant it for generations to come, and you will see a phenomenal harvest in every area of your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. I think the greatest seed that each one of us has is the opportunity to know Christ as our Savior. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you to join. I want you to know Christ, John 17:1. I want you to walk with Him and talk with Him, have a relationship with Him. I want your sins to be washed away. I want you to be a citizen of heaven and be able to participate with all of what God has in heaven for you right now. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him in your life, you want to seed your life to get the harvest of eternity. you want Christ today, I want you to raise your hand up right now. If that's you and you want Jesus in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Young man, I see your hand. I see both of your hands right there. 5, 4. Come on, get your hands up. 3. Come on, don't wait. Don't wait. This is your moment. 2. Last call. Thank you. Last call. 1. Father, I thank you that our lives are seed, just like yours was. Jesus, if you had not died, given up your life, we would not live for eternity. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for being crucified. Thank you for being the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for coming again. And we make a decision that our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Lord, and I give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet. Those who raise their hand for salvation, I know it's 3 young people. People say, well, you know, the children, me and my cousin Wayne would go up to the altar every week. Remember that? Every week we go to the altar. They give an altar call. My cousin and I were up to the altar. It's stuck. We're both in church. We're both serving God. Amen? Today, I just want to release a blessing in your life, and I want you to get this really in your spirit. I am seed. I am seed. Father, I release the seed in the name of Jesus. I release the seed to go out into this world and to be planted. I release them, God, to make a difference in the people's lives around them. I release them, oh God, to preach the gospel of Christ and not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. I release them, God, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I release them in Jesus' name, Lord, to cast out devils. I release them in the name of Jesus to be the salt and the light, that we will be the people that you use, oh God, to bring transition to this region. We make ourselves available as seed. Lord, we thank you for all of those in the past. All of those in the past, Jesus, who have sold their lives that we could sit here today. We give you praise for their lives and thank you that they sowed for us. But we choose to serve for the future. In Jesus' name, and everybody receiving said, if those that raise your hand for salvation, if you meet me in the front, the prayer team will be around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here to minister to you, love on you. Go get them, church. We are the body of Christ. Be the seed to the world and see great change with everybody that you surround.